and welcome to Parade of Dicks. I'm your hostess, Lucy Buttons, here with my co-producer, John L.
What's up?
It's been a long time.
I guess because you're so busy. Where have you been?
You're so busy.
We're both busy.
We're both busy, and if you were paying attention in the last few podcasts, I started seeing someone, and I wasn't sure if recording podcasts about my dating life is helping, necessarily.
There was some vetting and double checking and NDAs and contracts signed to be able to
mention. We're still in contract negotiations.
And arbitrage.
Yeah.
what terms can you use in on record to describe your fuck stick currently? None yet?
He's my boyfriend.
Look at that. You are INR. In a relationship.
I guess. But it's gone through some stages. Ooh. We were together. We broke up. We got back together. We were open to dating other people. Now we're not really dating other people. I'm his person, but he still wants kids, but I don't want kids.
And that was, I think,
so it's complicated.
Something that we discussed.
But it's like 6 months already now.
Of negotiations.
Of dating.
And you're still not pregnant.
Boo. No. I have an IUD.
Damn it.
Lock that shit down.
So that's what those things do.
Yep.
No. All right. So is it 100% clear whatever agreements that you have currently?
Is what 100% clear?
Like, are you your boyfriend and girlfriend? That's on paper.
It's not on paper, but sure, we're boyfriend and girlfriend.
Are you planning a future? That's a kind of no.
He asked me to move in with him the other day.
Ooh, that's fresh.
Yeah, it is fresh. And I said, remember the, I said, take yourself out of the equation. What's the thing I've been saying since you met me that I need before I would ever live with someone
Got
again?
It. Okay.
And he thought about it for a second. He goes, the marriage thing. And I started laughing. I was like, yeah, the marriage thing. Because we're not spring chickens. I'm not going to like experiment with someone.
Or engagement at least to start.
Right? Maybe. We both have rent stabilized apartments. I'm not giving that shit up on an experiment.
That's true. I mean, yeah, I have kind of added that as part of the vetting process in my dating situation. So like, I have plans to get some stuff, but I also plan to keep this. So it needs to be a really good situation for me to even consider it.
And we won't fit in his apartment.
I thought that his apartment has a lot of rooms.
It does, but he's got stuff in all of them.
Which is he willing to clear with you?
I don't Optimize? Know. It's too soon.
6 months.
You're too soon.
You just said you're no spring chicken.
I know, but it's too soon.
Well, again, soon is relative. It's take away the time. How much more clarification is needed for you to be confident in pursuing any long-term partnership with this particular person?
I think we're pursuing the potential of a long-term partnership, but I think there's some things that need to be clarified. So we'll see.
How difficult are those things, and how many are those milestones that is needed?
Well, I would want to be getting married, so I would say quite a few, right?
Okay.
But in 6 months' time, like, even though we have this like giant issue that we have not solved for yet, we haven't really had any fights.
Good.
We get along great. Mm-hmm. We have deep introspective conversations about lots of like intimate things and our feelings.
Ooh.
And like,
so what?
It's very mature in a lot of ways. You know, we'll see what happens. I'm a little hesitant, like post-breakup, you know?
Of course. I mean,
see.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird when we get older, the longer things go, it's both a good and a bad thing, right? Because, like you mentioned, you're further and further along invested in this relationship. And then the more painful it will be if it doesn't work out, but it's also the only route for you guys to figure out the things that are working.
Yes, and I also think I might be over that hump in life where now I feel more hesitant to like disrupt the life I have. Like I have to be really sure about someone before I want to try living with them and changing the stability I do have on my own.
No, 100%.
Habits are like real habits now for people. He's going to be 47 shortly. Like, these aren't things that are going to change.
I think, like, mid-30s onwards, it is more of a, I think we should shift from adjusting to acceptance.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
I've starting to learn that.
And he and I have very different lifestyles.
We've hung out a few times, and just both your dietary restrictions just baffle me.
His dietary restrictions are rough.
Yeah. I mean, yours isn't super easy too, but like in combination.
Yeah. It's a lot.
Well, I mean, but also when you look at it on the other way, like, you've been feeding yourselves for a while now. So that just can't continue. Right. So I think it is, you know, it's good that I don't hear as much of the relationship as the prior one.
Mm-hmm.
Because it means that there's less friction.
Sure.
It is also good that, you know, we don't hear about too much about the sexual incompatibility, because that's what we hear first, versus the sexual compatibility. But at least, you know, it might not be the best, but at least it's not bad.
Right.
So again, mid-30s onwards, it's all about acceptance now. It's because technically we can live by ourselves.
Right.
We just don't want to.
We always could.
Some people, you worry when if they live by themselves for long.
Well, I have Mabel.
Well, yeah,
you've got whiskey.
No. Because we are good. You and I are good.
Right.
But we know of people that, you know, you're 40, still with roommates, or, you know, you don't know how to clean, or you don't have hand towels.
Sure.
Stuff like that.
That's weird if you're 40 and you don't have hand towels.
Or you have too many female hygienic products and you're male, right? Call back.
Yeah.
At that, it's a callback. Yeah, so, but yeah, it seems good.
He didn't have those anymore when I went back there.
Well, probably he either...
He took the note. I think he took the note.
Or the people that needed... He switched sides, and the people that he brings home...
Oh, shut up.
Doesn't need...
What's going on with you?
A couple of things. So I think the biggest milestone... Or again, the biggest thing of note is after dating this person, and I thought and still do think that we're very, very compatible. So I broke up with the Asian lady, or we broke up. She broke up with me. She let me go. One of those things. It doesn't really matter the semantics, but we ended our partnership earlier in the year. It sucked because, again,
after a year.
Exactly after a year and 1 month of dating, because we started dating the first week of February, and when we ended dating the last week of February of 2023. And same issue as the last few real relationships that I have. It's nothing bad. Like, it's not that, you know, somebody cheated or somebody found somebody better. She just didn't feel as, she didn't feel as optimistic about our final partnership, like the marriage and the family stuff. She didn't feel as strongly as I did. Maybe it's because, you know, I was the first, kind of technically the second person that he or she's only dated two other people after her long-term relationship. Maybe she didn't tell me that she wanted to have other options, but, you know.
And you were sort of in an open relationship for a while, and then...
For a while, and then it kind of, like, became a lot more serious, but it was more of, I think, the good thing about going through and fixing issues and problems is... Once those problems are done, then you can really assess the relationship. So, a big portion of our conversation, you and I's conversation for the past year is like, she might leave the United States, go back to Korea. That's one thing. You know, I can pretty much handle a lot of things, but that sure. I wouldn't. And when we realized, or when she realized that she is not leaving. And she can find a way to stay here, and she wants to stay here. Even after that major hurdle, she still wasn't like, oh, all the things that we, well, when did we did talk about living together? We looked at places, we researched, or like she was, you know, she tried my idea of finding a pied-à-terre upstate and then keeping her apartment here, talked about that, talked about moving into her apartment, me renting a parking slot in her building, which is like fucking $850 just for one parking slot.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about, or we kind of conversed about, instead of me buying a spot upstate, why don't we just buy a two-bedroom in her building, which was more than $2 million. Like, so we talked about a lot of really, really future things, which was good when we all kind of cleared those things. It's more of after all of those things are cleared and we started, you know, looking at each other again, she didn't feel as strongly as I would have wanted to, or she would have wanted to, in order to like really good marriage. So it sucked, kind of, you know, it sucked not because of, again, a negative thing. It sucked because, like, the usual, she wants me to find somebody that is equally committed to finding, like, a person, a wife, and a possible 1.5 kids, than seeing it, you know, trying out another year with her, which on paper makes sense. On paper, kind of, is very considerate. But in practice, still kind of sucks. Cause,
how's it going?
That was 1A of my topic. The 1B is I took a quick little break, maybe a month and a half of just assessing stuff because, you know, my work actually picked up and work is doing really well now. And my personal YouTube channel has been growing well. So I was able to concentrate on a little bit. So after a little break, I started dating.
Okay.
One of the things that I saw on TikTok that I should change with my Hinge parameters that actually helped a lot in getting exponentially more matches than I had before was taking out all of my deal breakers.
Okay.
So taking out the distance, taking out the age.
Well, sure. If you don't have any deal breakers, there's a lot more people to date.
Yeah, but the idea of it is like for a male, for me, it's more of like my profile being shown to more people. Because part of you limiting yourself is you're not being shown to other people too.
Ooh.
Right? Cat. So that's one thing. But with that too, it also helped being able to be matched with people near. I started actually dating people older than me, which was kind of great because it's a lot easier. There's a lot more people that match with me that are older than me, like women 45 and older.
Okay.
Most of them were very, very good experiences, super fun. A lot of them were still super pretty. I didn't realize that me capping my Hinge from like 25 to 45, there's a lot of 46 to 50 that are super awesome.
Okay.
So that's one. I'm going to end with my super rant though. Because in this pod, you say that I am the numbers guy. Right.
Yeah, you're always keeping track. Yeah.
I was okay with it, but I realize now it's not necessarily the money. So, but I'm going to start with the money. In a 3-week period, I made notes. In a 3-week period, right?
Okay.
You know, I went on 10 dates.
That's right? A lot.
That's a lot. 3-week period, 10 dates. 6 women.
Okay. Right?
So one woman I dated 3 times, everybody else just twice.
Okay.
Right? So I spent $1,800 in 3 weeks for dating. So anybody who says that like I am, you know, I'm dollars and cents, but I am not cheap.
Right.
I want to have a good time. A couple of those were my fault, where I gave reins to the other people that I did not pre-check the restaurant that they picked.
Sure.
And I just, you know, my criteria is as long as we can make a reservation. I think that they thought that, you know, they could do like an almost Michelin star or something like that. Either way, still good experience, still good food, still good drinks.
Okay.
What I don't like about it is amongst all those women, I was just really, really into one.
Okay. And were any of them really into you?
Oh, none. So that none of those went to fruition. So the one person that I really, really liked after the third date, kind of mentioned, didn't feel as romantically linked to me as they would want to be. All the others, I'm sure I could have pursued more, but I just started not texting and then they didn't text back.
Sure.
However, one important rule for me is no ghosting is the worst. So it's not that I just stopped texting. I just stopped planning the date or okay. asking the date. I just started asking how they were, make conversation, and then just the conversation fizzled. So all in that to say is like, it's not the money that sucks, right? It's the time. That's the one resource that I am valuing right now. Main reason why I wanted like a more extravagant date than a psycho screening, like a quick drink sure. and a coffee, is because I wanted to sit and talk about real stuff. Like, hey, yeah. I'm purposely dating. I'm trying to look for a partner. I'm tired. I'm tired of the interviews. I want to start the harder stuff, which is combining okay. expenses, moving upstate, introducing to you my friends and stuff. That's sure. what I'm thinking. And the fact that all five women, except for one, just ghosted.
Ghosted?
Yeah, they just like stopped texting. If I don't text, they won't text. All
right? That's kind of normal.
That is normal, but the idea of it's like if most women are being irked by this dating culture where they're just a number from a guy that they just that will just text them.
Sure.
You know, be the change. So, I mean, I'm just saying like I try to have strong, planned, expensive dates, be up forthright with my intentions, which is in purposefully dating. A little reciprocation would have been nice to say that at least like, hey, sorry, sorry I haven't texted, sorry we haven't seen each other for a while. I don't think it's going to work out. Totally fine, right? But yeah,
But maybe they were waiting for you to pursue and ask them out another time.
That is true. And that's the only thing that I stopped doing. It's like, instead, I still text to converse, say hi, good nights and good mornings. If, you know, notes about what I remembered about what they're doing. If they had a meeting, if they're coming from a trip. I'd ask about those to continue the conversation. Because in the end, it's like, so you only want to hang out, just to hang out. Or if I plan it, right?
Well, that's not necessarily true, but part of the courting process is being asked out and making sure someone's interested in you, yeah. right? And that's what you're saying is you want to know that they're interested in you.
Exactly.
And that's where I say, you know, the genitals kind of change as we get older because mm-hmm. you're at that stage now where you want to feel more pursued by them. But traditionally, with the traditional heteronormative yeah. gender roles, you should be the one asking them out. 100%. So they might be laying back because they're waiting for you to ask and then you never did.
100%. And although you're right, to be pursued would be ideal, but I'm also, again, I look at myself in the mirror. I know my positive qualities are fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth down the line, I'm like, I'm the 10-year investment, not the 2-day investment, right? That's fine. It's more of just like the idea of if somebody wants to talk to you, they'll talk to you. Yeah, they want to. Nobody is that busy.
I know. No, no. But I think, yes. And I think that's how it should be. But I also think that like the dating culture tells people not to text just because you want to talk. 100%.
What? 100%. Which
I think is doing everyone a disservice.
100%. And that's what I'm looking. Oh, that's what I think the crux of the situation is. In not so many words, those are the sort of things that I want to talk about in that date, in that first date, in that second, particularly on second date, where I'm trying to be a little bit more like, hey, I'm purposefully dating. So I just want to make sure that, you know, I let you know that I'm not playing no games. I'm not building a roster.
Sure.
I want to end the roster. So hopefully that is a signifier of like, if you're into me, let's talk about it. If you're not into me, we're adults.
Yeah.
But again, the idea of it is if you, and this is not just romantic partners. If you have friends, if you have coworkers that don't reply, no one is that busy.
I agree, but I also think like someone has to initiate. It shouldn't always be you, but like, you know, any relationship, friendship, whatever takes work. And so I think I probably reach out to everyone more. How often do you reach out to me to hang out?
Well, not to hang out, no, but I reach out to you plenty. You know, we converse, but, you know, I'm more of like, whenever you want to hang out, I'm going to say most of the time yes, unless I'm busy. So.
Right, but that still is me being like, hey, you want to hang out?
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, I always reply. And I'm always
there. But it can just be isolating if you're always waiting for someone else to do it.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's what this new experiment, just like new emphasis on, you know, I understand I will always be the one pursuing. Like, I will understand, like, in the terms of How I Met Your Mother, there's always a settler in a relationship. There's very rarely where you're both just like head over heels with each other. Usually there's one that wins the other over, right? Okay. Either, you know, it might be looks, it might be career, it might be stability, it might be personality. But the idea is like there's always one that kind of like shows their wares, and then one will be like, oh shit, I got lucky that,
sure,
you know. So I understand I will always be that person that will pursue, right? I'll need to vocalize my positive qualities, because you won't see my positive qualities until you are here more, naked in my bed, with my friends, with my family, right? My positive quality is not a six pack, is not my height, right? Not even like, I'm not even charming in person. Like, I'm a mirror. I'm cool when everybody's cool, but when everybody's quiet, I'm quiet. That's kind of
the thing.
But just the idea of like, who's interested? That's important. Like, who is, like, who's going to be, I'm just going to say good morning. Just that.
You're just going to say good morning?
No, they are. Like, okay. Who's been enamored enough in a conversation that, you know, like, oh, he's charming enough to get to know. Let me say good morning. Let me say, ask, when are you free? All right. So it's good because now in this set of conversations or in this set so that was the previous set. More recently, last week, I have met somebody that is a lot more interested and interesting.
Okay.
And hopefully that works.
How many dates have you been on?
So with that lady, just once.
Okay.
Just once. But it was like a multi-number date. Like we had...
drinks and then dinner and then...
movie. Dinner than drinks.
Okay.
And yeah, the next
one. It was a long date.
It's a long date. Planned long date too, because we were chatting for a while. And then just like, you know, there were a couple of cancellations, and then we kind of like, in talking, it's like, what if, you know, what if all of the plans, we put it to one date? And she was game. It was great. fun, super hot, super sexy, fairly successful too, super good. Second date is tomorrow. So second in-person date is tomorrow. So and she already is planning for a third.
Right? Okay.
So that's, it's good. But again, you know, we'll see. In
cautiously optimistic.
Very cautiously optimistic. So yeah, long update on my end. And
yeah.
Little update on your boyfriend. Look at you. Again, for me, as long as I don't see it on Facebook, it says in the relationship with, it's not real.
I don't go by Facebook statuses anymore. But yeah, I don't, until there's a contract signed. You know, you're still checking that single box when you're filling out government paperwork. So I'm cautiously optimistic as well. But, you know, I've been down this road a bunch of times.
What is the next milestone or timeline? Do you have like, all right, in the next 3 months, we need to talk about X to progress?
Well, we haven't been able to go away at all. So that's one thing that we're trying to do. And then we're planning to go back. He's from the Midwest as well, and meet each other's families this summer. Oh. So I would say by the end of summer, we'll probably have a better idea of where we're at. But we just have to, you know, figure some things out and see from there.
Well, I mean, good luck. I think it's good that it is not as, you know, after the multiple breakups in the first few weeks of your relationship, everything has been steady, and then steady is way better than, for me, way better than,
yeah,
sweeping off your feet and shit like that. No, I don't, that doesn't matter.
What I mean, I is, like being swept off my
everybody
feet.
Everybody does. But, again,
but he really is into me, and he's met a lot of my friends, and everyone says that that's really clear. He's super supportive. He's a cheerleader of my shows and stuff like that. He had family in town, and they did come to the show. So, you know.
So as long as you just don't get pregnant, you're cool.
But he wants baby. Yay. Really a lot. So it's more than that.
Yeah, but that's the thing, too. I think we've
spoken. And the lifestyles. And, you know, I wouldn't say that we haven't been able to date much. We haven't been able to go out on many dates because of his schedule. So we're not doing a lot. And we need those shared experiences and things like that to build, too. That's really important. So even though we're having deep conversations, we love spending time with one another. I've never talked on the phone to someone so much as an adult as I have with him.
Interesting.
But, you know, you need to you need to do stuff, too.
That's, I mean, and that's also, again, as we get older.
And he didn't do great on my birthday.
Yeah. We need to devote a specific episode on the specificities of your birthday, not only for this partner, but also
why
potential future partners. Like, listen to episode 128.
Okay, so one thing that's really funny, one of my friends, Jessica, listens to our podcast. Mm-hmm. And she was catching up, and now she's gone back and listened to some old ones. And she was telling her partner that she's listening to them and enjoys them, particularly the one about Cuba, where I was asking you the detailed bathroom questions that inquiring minds needed to know, laughing and crying on the train. And telling her partner that I'm still doing this podcast. And he's like, she's still doing that? How many episodes are there? And she's like, there's like 140. And he's like, Jesus, that's still going on. And I was just thinking how many episodes that is of our failures to find partners over many years now.
Zero failures. We are perfect. Perfect podcast. We're perfect partners and perfect people.
No one's perfect.
I am 1,000%.
But we are good partners.
I know. I mean,
that's not why we're still single.
No. Yeah, it is kind of baffling how every time that I am out now, I'm much more heightened with the idea that a lot of people that are around us are a lot younger.
Younger, married, have babies, or having babies.
For me, it's like it's not even all those because that's a wash. There's people that are partnered at shouldn't be and are miserable,
sure,
and are
sure,
together.
100%.
And then there's people that are amazing, that like I can't wait for them to pop 25 babies and make the world a better place. So that is a wash. It's more of just the idea that people look at the world way differently when you're 40 versus when you're 25.
Yeah.
But both are adults.
Yeah.
Right? The range of adult is weird. It is weird to me.
Like, I mean, look at our politics in this country right now.
It's I don't know what happened the past couple of months, or maybe it's because I started dating people that are slightly older.
Sure.
But also that doesn't change. There are 43
messy people that are older. Yeah.
Yeah. So. It's more of like it's just finding, not necessarily the needle in the haystack, is like finding our needle, right? Because like we can both be stupid, we can both be successful, we can both be artistic. You can find somebody that is in your wavelength, and I'm just much more the Schadenfreude is real. Every time I see somebody fumble now, it's like I don't fumble. I don't eat vegetables, so that's one of my biggest flaws, sure. But, dude, you don't even have a passport. Like, that's kind of like, I'm a point out every time somebody says, like, I'm finally going to X place, first time that I'm flying somewhere. It's like, you are 38 years old.
Yeah.
Right? So...
I'm from Wisconsin. Lots of people don't travel. It's wild. And I keep telling my nephew, who's 20 now, I'm like, you need to go other places and see the world to expand your viewpoint.
Even if the other place is only a six-hour drive away, just go somewhere and talk to other people, because our point of views are... Because like both are different, too.
And other cultures and like...
Just expand your mind, because like, you know, the problem with... With particularly here in big cities, particularly in New York, particularly in Brooklyn, it's very, very cliquish. And it's very, very echo chamber kind of thing.
Sure.
Very incestuous to a certain extent, which is, it's a good safety net. But if that's your entire world, I'm out. Like, that's one of my new things too. I'm not gonna be with anybody that has just their personality's X. I love Taylor Swift. I literally just got the vinyl of Tortured Poets Department with the 24-page booklet, not the $30 one, the $64 one.
Okay.
Right? But if your personality is Taylor Swift...
That's not a personality.
Even if your personality is your job, that's not a personality. Personality is friends, family, religion, lack thereof. Creativity, lack thereof. Fitness, lack thereof. All of that is a personality.
Okay.
Your personality is not like Bravo TV. That's no.
No.
Right? Even if it's their personality. If your personality is curing cancer, congratulations. Thank you for your service. But no. That's not a complete human being.
By the way, I just got back from Viva. Mm-hmm. You went to Viva with me a couple of years ago.
Delightful time.
Guess who I saw? Well, I saw a few people at Viva. First of all, I saw our friend that I made the first time I went. And he's like a new man now. He's relaxed. And I, you know, gave him a hard time about not knowing how to swing dance in the beginning. And this time I watched some woman run up to him excitedly, introduce her friend, was like, you have to dance with him. And I was like, oh! My little birdie flew the coop. It was so great. He was so relaxed and chill. Do you know how old he is?
50.
28.
Fuck these kids.
I had no idea. He was talking about his 10-year high school reunion. I was like, how old do you think I am? I thought it was fucking hilarious. And then I saw my two, I jokingly called them my boyfriends from my first year that I really enjoyed dancing with. One was the guy that was there with some other chick, sort of, but I really enjoyed dancing with him. Ran into him, totally forgot he existed. And then remember there was that Dom that like I kind of had a vibe with? Do you remember me telling you that story?
Yeah.
He was there. I ended up sitting at his table, not even realizing it. He was like at the bar getting a drink. He came back and he was like, I remember you. We've met before. And then we struck up a conversation, whatever. And so we reconnected. So, you know,
people. Your ex did not go this time?
No. But there was a lot of South Londoners that reminded me of my other ex. So that was interesting. But
well, at least you didn't have any rough encounters, I hope, you know.
Yeah, mostly fine.
Arriva's, yeah, that was a fun trip. I posted a couple of, it popped up in my Facebook memories, and I just rendered a couple of our photos black and white.
I saw.
It's delightful.
I still like my first pics best, but that's okay. I also have some new shows going on that I'd love to tell everyone about. Run so it. We have Royal Brunch that's every Saturday at London and Martin Co.
Delightful place.
Which is in the Financial District. We party like it's $17.99.
100%.
So you can wear all your Bridgerton stuff if you want. Come have a little tea party with us during the day for brunch. Boozy
tea. Delightful teas. I really, really want to go back. Fruity balls. So
it's super fun, silly.
How do they do it?
Daytime.
They freeze the champagne and they pour orange juice in a teacup.
No, they freeze the orange juice and you pour the champagne over it.
Oh, delightful.
Yeah. They're little fruity balls. And you can get like this whole tea tower thing with a scotch egg mm-hmm. and all sorts of stuff. Super fun, super silly. The show is free to go. Then we added an evening show mm-hmm. at 8 o'clock. We have Royal Supper.
Delightful.
Happening there. Different vibe, different performers, less immersive. So you can still have your date and have your party. And then I still have the nudie show second Thursdays at Beauty Bar. So we have one of those coming up. And I still have First Fridays for
Amor.
Yeah, Un Secreto at Amor Loco in Times Square. And then I'm doing a bunch of other shows this month, too. I'm doing Moxie Bingo with Frankie and performing at 1803. So it's been pretty busy. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. So come check them out if you want. Again, London Martin Co. every single Saturday during the day and at night. Busting my ass, shaking my peach.
You.
Yeah.
Watch them peach.
Come check it out. You have any new projects going on?
No, just the YouTube, my YouTube channel, El Jong, youtube.com/El Jong, is actually growing in a pace that I'm very, very happy with, that I am now working with a lot of sponsors. So I'm reviewing a lot of products, giving my insights on other people, how to help them kind of capture photos and videos a lot more fun, a lot easier. So that's taking a bit of time. So I've reformatted the channel to be more me, because it has been very live art performance centric for a very, very long time, and that's the reason why the channel grew. A lot of people are very, very impressed with the artistic talent of New Yorkers, both burlesque, sideshow, musicians. So that's the kind of still the baseline of the channel. You'll still get one live art performance video every week, but I've started to add more of my stuff there. I can't monetize live art performances because they use commercial music. So I started slowly but surely the past 8-9 months now to add more photography and videography stuff, and finally it has broken through where both the live art performance and the photography and videography stuff has the exact same amount of viewership. So now I'm getting a little bit monetization back, so it's super good. Building a little bit of a community, so great. So you'll expect to see at least one gear review every month. In the month of May and April.
I do gear reviews too?
If you want to.
Gear, like a dick. Gear review. I want to do dick reviews.
You can if you want to. All right. We'll put it on, we blur it out. But
that
you can see.
That would be weird. We've already done that.
So we'll have at least one gear review a month. There's going to be one behind the scenes of a photo shoot a month, too. I will also be starting my other podcast, Fun Shoot, with talking to other photographers, videographers, models, other image makers and light shapers at least a month. And then that last week will probably be just like a random vlog. That fills the month. So at least 52 new videos a year. It's getting easier now. I got stuff. Thank you, sponsors, for giving me the stuff to make things easy. But yeah, we're doing a bunch more projects, and soon, my sponsors will be giving away stuff too. So it's good.
Nice.
That's it.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, and we'll be back when we feel like it. Bye.